thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Thank you so much for inviting me tonight. I am here tonight really to sing the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. My name's Lisa Carnahan, and I want to tell you a story about how the Lord Jesus Christ totally destroyed the works of the devil in my life. It's really a story how I sinned against God, how I coped with that sin, or how I couldn't cope with that sin, how the Holy Spirit stepped in, and how through hearing the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and he rescued me. I am a stay-at-home mum, and I have four wee girls, Isla who's 9, Bobby's 8, Marnie's 5, and Connie's 3. So I'm a busy mummy, and I've been married for nearly 12 years to Robert. I am from a totally unchurched background. I didn't go to church as a child. I went to Sunday school on and off. My parents never went to church. I don't think my grandparents ever went to church. There's no history of Christianity really in my family that I know of, going back three generations. I heard Bible stories growing up in Sunday school and in school. And the Bible stories that I heard, I'm from a really nice family, a lovely mummy and daddy who loved me very much, but the Lord Jesus Christ was not in our family at all. I would have heard all the Bible stories, and it would have been stories about baby Jesus in a manger and stories like that. But I'm here to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ that I met. And there's a verse in Exodus chapter 15, verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. This is the Lord that I met. So I would have been very much into taking advice from anybody to kind of fix myself. So when I got pregnant with my eldest daughter, friends said you should go to pregnancy yoga. It's really good and it keeps you fit and it keeps you calm and it keeps you healthy. So I went to pregnancy yoga. When I had my baby, friends told me you should go to baby yoga. It's really good for the baby and it's calming and you'll meet people and it's very relaxing. So I went to baby yoga. And then as my children got up a bit, friends said that you should go to yoga for getting your fitness level back after having babies. So I done yoga. I had a breech baby. So my wee Connie, the fourth child, was breech. And a friend said to me, you should go and get reflexology. It's really, really good for turning the baby. So I got reflexology. I had a busy head, a busy mummy head, trying to run about and do everything that I could do. So friends would have advised me to maybe try mindfulness or meditation. So I done mindfulness and meditation. So I know now that all of this is totally and utterly false hope. And there's a verse in the Bible that is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I can tell you now everything that I was doing that I did not know was not from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's not from the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that it's from the devil. So I had pains in my hands and feet for quite a while, and like a pins and needles feeling all the time. And I had made an appointment to go to the doctors, and I was worried about it, and my husband was worried about it. and I'd made an appointment to go to the doctor's, and I was speaking to my friend on the phone, and she asked me how I was. And so I was telling her just how things were, and I told her that I had an appointment to go to the doctor's for pains. I've been having these funny feelings in my hands and feet, and I was going to the doctor's to get a blood test. And she told me, she just said, she'd give me advice, and she said, you should go and see a lady that I know, she does Reiki. And it's like balancing out everything. And I know that you've had four babies very close together and you're busy and hormones and all the rest. And maybe you just need things balanced out. And I said, you think so? And she said, I'm telling you, that's what you need. So I took her advice and I went to a lady who was a Reiki practitioner. And I went, and she had a lovely wee room converted above her garage. And I went and spoke to her, and she knew my friend. And my friend would be into like fortune telling, and she would have been into things like that. And I knew that that was wrong. But yet I was doing all this other stuff that I thought was totally fine. And I said to this lady, listen, I know that Lee is into all that hocus pocus stuff, and I'm not into that, you know, I believe in God. And she said, well, what I normally do is I would say a prayer into myself before I would lay hands on anybody, but what I'll do to make you feel at ease is I'll say that prayer out loud. So she said a prayer out loud, and I can't even remember what the prayer was, but she prayed to God, and that was good enough for me. So the pains in my hands and feet went, and she told me that I could do this. She said, you could do this. And I said, listen, I'm a stay-at-home mommy, and I really like being a stay-at-home mommy. I love doing the school runs, and I love taking my girls to ballet and swimming, and that's what I like to do. Robert goes and does all the business things. He goes to work and I stay at home with the children, and I'm really happy doing what I do. I've no aspirations to open my own business. And she said, but you could do this to your husband and your children, with your husband being, you know, stressed with work, and we'd help to calm your children down as well. So I said, yes, okay. So she taught me how to do Reiki, and she said to me after, you have to spend 2 weeks of doing this yourself, and then you can treat your husband and your family. And I was like, right, okay. So I went home, and for about 5 days I was doing this. And then one day my hands felt like they wanted to move around my body by themselves, and it freaked the life out of me. And I went downstairs and I said to my husband, Robert, I've been up there and my hands feel like they want to move around my body by themselves, and I don't know what's going on. So I phoned the lady and I said to her, and she said, that's fine. That's totally fine. She says, but that's all part of it. But you have free will and you can stop at any time. So I stopped. And about a week later, maybe, Robert and I was going to visit his aunt, who lives in Edinburgh, and she'd been sick for a while. So a lot of his family were meeting up and having, just meeting up to see each other in Edinburgh. So Robert and I went over to see his Auntie Ruby, and all the family were together this night in a hotel in Edinburgh, and we're all sitting chatting. And I was sitting chatting to Robert's sister, Karen, and I can't even remember how the conversation got around, but she had said to me that she had tried kind of reading the Bible, and she said that she has four sons, and she said, I started reading it and it just wasn't good whenever I got to Cain and Abel. She said, so I closed it. She says, I didn't like it. She said, so I quite like the idea of Buddhism, and she says, like, it's nice, and, you know, and to be nice to each other. And I said, well, I remember from when I was a child, I watched a film, The Ten Commandments, with Charles Heston. I remember watching that with my mama. And I said to her, well, like, I wouldn't even have a Buddha in my house. You know, the commandments say that you can't worship another god. You know, my God's Jesus. And And that was it. And so whenever Robert and I went to bed that night, he was fast asleep. And I couldn't sleep. And I woke him up all of a sudden and I said to him, "Robert, we need to get out of this hotel. There's bad in here. There's bad in here." And Robert, being the good husband that he is, he got up out of his sleep and he'd done exactly what he was told. And we got up at like 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning in a hotel in Edinburgh. And I could not wait. I practically ran out of that hotel and all of our stuff was left in the room. I just ran out of the hotel. And as soon as I got out of the hotel, I fell to my knees and I couldn't even speak words. I fell to my knees and all I could say was ho, ho, ho. And I was looking up at Robert and he was standing looking at me and I didn't know what was going on. And Robert has three sisters and I have a brother and sister, and out of our family, me and Robert would be the most sensible, logical ones out of them all. So for this to be happening to us was just, it was just crazy. So he phoned. I said, "I can't go back into that hotel. You need to phone your mummy. We need to stay in your auntie's tonight." So his mum and his auntie came in the middle of the night to a hotel and picked us up. And I went home to her house and I lay in bed the whole night and my skin just crawled the whole night. And all I could do was say the Lord's Prayer over and over again, because that's what I was taught. I didn't know to call in the name of Jesus. And I was 38 from Belfast and I had never heard the gospel message. I didn't know that I could call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know that. I was in a bed and all I could do was say the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again. Didn't sleep a wink. We went to the airport the next day and as we were getting on the plane, I said to Robert, "I need you to pray for me the whole way home. Something has happened. Something has happened and I really, really need you to pray for me." And he did, and he prayed. And we got home, and the next day, I just didn't feel right. And the next day, Robert went to work, and I left the two oldest girls to school, and I came home, and I just didn't feel right. And I got in the car, and I was going to collect them at pick-up time. And as I was driving to the school, these thoughts just came flying into my head. These thoughts that I needed to leave my husband. These thoughts that my husband wasn't good for me anymore and that I needed to leave him. And I just thought, you know, those thoughts aren't my thoughts. Well, I just couldn't understand what was happening. I've been with my husband since we were 16. We were in P1 together. He knows me and I know him and I know that I love my husband and I wouldn't want to leave my husband. So these thoughts weren't my thoughts. So I picked up the girls from school and in my whole world, I knew one praying person. And it was my friend Cléna, her mum, Nuala. I'd met her about three times in my life. And Cléna would have always talked about how her mummy prays and she prays and my mummy prays all the time. And I phoned my friend Cléna, who lives in Lisburn, and her mummy lives in Cookstown. And I phoned Cléna to her house, and her mummy picked up the phone. And I said, "Nuala, it's Lisa, it's Cléna's friend. I need to come to the house. I need you to pray for me. I've done something really, really wrong, and I don't know what I've done." And she said to me, "Well, I'm here kind of minding the grandchildren." And I said, "Well, I am on my way, and I have another four children in the back of my car." So I rocked up to Cléna's house and I fell into Nuala's arms and I could feel the power of her prayers. And as she held me and prayed for me, I could feel my shoulders drop. And when she stopped praying, I could feel my shoulders rise again. And I just didn't know what was going on. My mum then came to Cléna's house and took me home. And my mum and my dad and my sister and my auntie Aileen, who's Down syndrome, she's lived with us for about 30 years. They all totally just left everything, dropped everything and came and moved into my house. And I remember that night standing, and they just didn't know what was going on, and I didn't know what was going on. And my daddy said, well, we'll phone the doctor. And I said, yes, phone the doctor, get the doctor out, because something's happened and I don't know what, and I don't know how to fix it, and I don't know what to do, get the doctor. And I remember that night standing looking at my mum and my dad and my husband and thinking, all the love and all the money in this world isn't going to help me. I knew that. But I didn't know what was going to help me. But I knew looking at them, like they just couldn't help me. It was impossible. So the doctor came out, and the doctor had known me. And she just took one look and she says, I need to get her assessed. So I was referred to the White House in Lygon Valley Hospital. And I thank the Lord and I praise the Lord now that the lady that I got speaking to was a Christian, because I told her exactly what I'm telling you here tonight. And what she said to me was, how is your faith? And I think that's what the law says now. That's all a Christian person is allowed to say. How is your faith? If I had got somebody else, I could have been sent away for a while with medication or dear knows what. But she asked me how was my faith. And I said to her, I've been praying. I've been praying to God and I know God's going to help me. So she said, she gave me some tablets to help me sleep. And she says, you're tired, you need to rest and you need to sleep. And you're exhausted because you hadn't slept for days. So I took the tablets and I went home and took them for a few days. Robert came out of his work for a fortnight. My mum and dad moved in for a fortnight. Sadly, just stopped work. He just phoned and said, I can't come to work. My mummy done the same. She couldn't go to work. And they all moved in and rallied around. And my mummy, being a mummy, runs around cleaning, thinking, I'll clean the house, it'll help. And just trying everything they could to help me. And so a couple of weeks pass and I got back on the run again, back on the school run and the ballet run and the swimming pool waiting rooms. And I was in ballet in the waiting room, and there was this girl sitting talking, Nicola, who I'd been talking on and off to for about a year, and she was telling me all about her holiday to Israel. And I said to her, like, why would you go to Israel? There's a war going on over there. And she said, we're Christians. And I was like, all right, okay. And I said, can I ask you something? Can I ask you, what is your opinion on yoga and on Reiki? And she just looked at me and she said to me, it's a form of spiritualism. And what you do is you open yourself up to things that are not of the Lord. And I said, I know that now. I know that that was wrong, but I didn't know. And she said to me, whenever you walk with the Lord, you know. And even that phrase, walk with the Lord, I'd never heard that kind of talk before. And she could probably see in my face that I needed help. And she said to me, maybe you might need a wee bit of deliverance. And I said, well, what's deliverance? And she says, it's whenever you go and Christian people will lay their hands on you and pray for you. And I said, that's what I need, Nicola, I need prayer. So she said, I'll try and get you a number. So about 4 weeks passed, and she came up to me this day and she says, I got that number for you. Do you need it, or are you okay? And I said, I'm all right, but I'll take it anyway. And that was on a Wednesday. And by the Saturday, I lifted the number. I lifted my phone and I phoned that number. And I spoke to a lovely wee man, Jim McTurnahan, and I told him exactly what I'm telling you here tonight. And he said, come down. So Jim is from Abbots Cross Congregational Church. And so that was on the Saturday, and I was going on the Wednesday. So on the Monday, in the mother and toddlers, I was talking to my friend Michelle, who's here tonight. And I said to Michelle, I'm going for deliverance on Wednesday. And she was like, well, what's deliverance? And I said, I don't know, but I need it. And she says, well, I'll go with you. So the two of us went to Abbots Cross Congregational Church, and we went in and we met three of the most godliest people you'll ever meet. And one of them's here tonight, Anne Davidson, Jim McTurnahan, and Raymond. And I went in an absolute mess. And I told them exactly what was going on in my life and what had happened. I had the most horrible feeling all the time that just wouldn't go away. I just felt awful all the time. So Anne explained to me that what that feeling was is called sin. And sin is what separates you from God. And they explained to me the gospel message, the amazing gospel message that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth to die for us and to die for me and to die for my sins. And then 3 days later, he was brought back to life. And now he sits up on the right hand side of our Heavenly Father, always praying and interceding for us. And the minute I heard that, I knew I needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And I repented straight away. I grabbed that gospel message and I grabbed the Lord Jesus Christ and I begged him to save me. And I was so sorry for everything that I had done. Well, then they anointed me and laid hands on me and started praying. And what happened was just incredible, absolutely incredible. I felt it. I felt that the Holy Spirit literally came in, right into me, and got all that disgusting yuck and sin and just threw it out of me at such a force. And I felt it. And Michelle seen it. Michelle seen it with her own eyes, and I felt it. And I just couldn't believe the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the name above all names. And he came and saved me. Like he crashed into my world through a ballet waiting room, through one of his people. He used one of his people. Do you know, like, it's just incredible. It really is incredible. So I had prayer ministry for probably an hour or maybe more, and after it I kind of just sat there and I was like, well, what do I do now? And Raymond said to me, you go out, girl, and you get yourself into the Word of God, get yourself a Bible. So I did. I went down to the Faith Mission bookshop and I bought a Bible. And on the way home from the deliverance ministry, me and Michelle in the car drive. Michelle wasn't saved at this time either, so we were kind of in shock driving home, and I just looked at Michelle and I said, Michelle, did I just get saved in there? She said, yes. I said, I did. I just got saved. I thought, I need to get myself a Bible. I want to find out more. So I went down to the Faith Mission and I got a Bible, and the wee lady in the Faith Mission said to me, if this is your first Bible, open it at Matthew. She says, that's all about the Lord Jesus. And that was a really good bit of information, because if I had opened it at Genesis, I wouldn't really know what was going on. So I got my Bible, my wee pink Bible, and I opened it and I went home. And I'll tell you what just started jumping out at me. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, when Jesus casts out a demon from a boy. And I am lying reading this in bed, and Robert's beside me. Dear love, Robert. Like, I was like, Robert, where do you hear? Where do you hear this story? I read out the story. I said, that's what happened to me. That's exactly what happened to me. The only difference is that little boy seen Jesus. I didn't, but I felt him. That's the only difference. Then I read Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I said to Robert, well, that's true. That is true, because if he done that the way back then, and he done it to me last week, that means that he is the same. I read Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, the lack of knowledge is the word of God. I did not have this word of God in my life. I had friends that give me advice. I had self-help books. I had everything that there was to have. The only thing I didn't have was the truth. I didn't have the word of God. So I was able to totally get rid of everything. And now I live my life by the word of God. I read about the narrow gate. And I thought, well, I have found a narrow gate. I'm off that broad road now that you just get swept about and you're taking advice from here, there and everywhere. I am now on the narrow path. And the more I read the Word of God, the more I see just how narrow that path is. I read Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, the wolves in the sheep's clothing. Well, I met the wolves, but they didn't come to me like wolves. They came as really nice, healing people that wanted to help me. So what I learn is I will not see those wolves. I won't see them because they come as sheep. But see, whenever you read the Word of God and when you love the Lord Jesus Christ and He is in you and He is with you and He goes before you and He opens your eyes to the Word of God, you'll see everything as it is. You will see the truth and you will see the false. So I haven't stopped reading the Bible since. So that summer, that happened to me in June. And we have a caravan in Ballywalter, so I spent all summer down with Robert and the girls at my caravan reading the Bible. And it was quite, once I got saved, it wasn't all great and happy and hallelujah. It took me a good few weeks to actually get my head around the fact that it's real. It is real. And when I read in the book of Ephesians about the armour of God, you need the armour of God because it is so real. You can't see it. It doesn't mean it's not real just because you can't see what's going on. It is so, so real. So as I read the Bible and I started to really fall in love more and more with the Lord, and I said to Robert, when we go home, I'd like to go to the Bible college because there's a Bible college around the corner from my house. Just so happens. So I went to the Bible college and a Christian education course, and every term there's like three subjects, and of course the time that I start is in one of the subjects, cults. And one of the first nights that I started, there was a pastor in talking about New Age, and he said, does anybody here have any experience in the New Age? And I'm sitting in a class of mature Christians. I'm saved 8 weeks. And I'm like, I don't. And I spoke for about 30 seconds. I thought, I can't sit here and keep my mouth shut. So I spoke for about 30 seconds through a lot of tears. And a man at the end, Robbie Boyce, came up to me and he said, I run a wee mission hall called Our Address. And I would like you to come and share your testimony. You have to share that story. And I was like, listen, I'm here to learn about the Lord. I'm not here to come, like, I don't do speaking. I've never done speaking in my life. And I said, no, I'm not, and especially the story as well. So that was in the September. And whenever all the college was breaking up in March, he said to me, will you have a wee think and come up and share your story? And I said, yes, I will. So I wrote my testimony and I sat, Robert took the girls out to the park and I sat in the end of my bed and I prayed, because that's all I do. I prayed and I said, Lord, I pray that you use my testimony to stir the hearts of Christian people so that they see the mighty, mighty warrior, the mighty Lord Jesus Christ that you are. So I said that prayer and God answered prayers. So I went up to Our Address with my testimony, me and Michelle, and I said to Robbie, would you mind recording it? Because my husband, first of all, his nerves wouldn't let him come. And also it's something that I never, ever plan to speak about again. And there's probably things that I'll talk about here that Robert doesn't even know. And he said, yeah, okay. So after I gave my testimony, Robbie said to me, is it all right if I put it on Facebook? And I said, yeah, why not? Like, I don't really do Facebook. So he put it on Facebook. And my testimony and that prayer that I prayed, well, the Lord answered that prayer because so many people have seen it. And I got a text from a pastor in Brickbar asking me to come then and share my testimony. And Anne always tells me, pray about everything first. So I said to him, I'm going to have to pray about it and I'll get back to you. So then another pastor, and then another pastor, and then another pastor asked me to come and share my story. And so I went down and bought myself a diary, and I said, Lord, if this is your will for me, I will do this. Fill the diary. And he's answered my prayer, and I'm here now sharing a story that I never thought that I would speak about again. Just a testimony to the Lord, like. So what happened to me was pretty horrific. But when I read Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I went through the hardest time of my life, and it took me quite a while to get my head around everything that had happened. But what happened really was, it's a blessing. It's a blessing because the Lord is now using that for his good, to warn his people that there is wolves out there that you will not know, and that you must keep your head in the Word of God. You really must. I wanted to forget. I used to cry. Anne, she would like mentor me, and we would meet up. And I remember one day crying to her and saying, I just want to forget all that happened, because it was just traumatic. Now I pray and I say, Lord, never, ever, like, always make me remember every single bit, because I know more and more how much he loves me and what he done for me. What he done for me on the cross and what he done for me 2 years ago is just, it's just something else. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he rescued me. He rescued me from myself. He rescued me from my sin. He rescued me from the devil. And he rescued me from God's wrath. Like, that's just great. It really is. So I could stand here all night for what the Lord is doing in my life. I really could. But I'll finish on a verse, and it's Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I know that is true. I know that it's true because I met the Lord. I met him and he saved me. And now I'm here singing a song all about him, all about him. Amen.
Just one verse this evening, and I really just want to be brief, but I want to just share one verse from God's Word. And it's very appropriate for this evening. It's from Romans 1 and verse 16. And it simply says this: I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, following on from a testimony like Lisa's, and sitting here in this place tonight, we can all say, absolutely, how can we be ashamed of the gospel? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because, and it's because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. If ever there was someone who knew the astounding life transforming power of the gospel in his life and in the lives of so many others, it was the Apostle Paul. From the moment he was knocked off his high horse on the way to Damascus, he was there to torture Christians, to kill them. And from that moment that he was knocked off his high horse, he knew the power of God. And he never forgot it. So why would he feel the need to say that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel? Why would he even entertain the thought of being ashamed of the gospel? Why should it even arise in the vocabulary of such a man of God who has known the power of God? Well, as Lisa says so clearly, and as the Bible teaches so clearly, there is a raging spiritual battle going on for the souls of men and women, and only Jesus can give hope. There is a temptation, and it's strong amongst Christians, amongst us, you and me. There are people losing their jobs, their livelihoods, their careers, being sent packing from universities because they have spoken of their faith. There is a conspiracy to silence the people of God. I think that's what Paul is addressing right here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he says. The word gospel, we know, means good news. News needs to be told. And thank God there was somebody, at long last, there was somebody who connected with Lisa and opened their mouths and said, there's help for you. News needs to be told. We don't have silent news programs. Might be better if they were sometimes, wouldn't it? News, good news, needs to be shared, proclaimed, spoken, communicated. The word needs to get out. People need Jesus. Silence through shame and embarrassment is one of the main weapons of choice of the enemies of the gospel. And we succumb to it all too easily. Paul was no stranger to the sneers of the cynics and the contempt and the mocking of the mob. So when he says he's not ashamed of the gospel, he's saying this. He's saying, I know what the cynics and the skeptics say about the gospel. I know how violently and forcefully they can fight against the gospel. I felt the sting of their mocking voices and the sting of the lash upon my back. I know they crave the moment that I cave in to their intimidation and ridicule. I know they want me to conform and crash out. I know that they want to silence me. But I won't be silenced. Why, Paul? Why won't you be silenced, Paul? I won't be silenced because the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the power of God for salvation. Everyone who believes. The original Greek word used here for power is dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. Preachers love to tell you that. Well, at least this one does. The gospel is God's dynamite. It's the explosive power of God. Hallelujah. But there's one problem with that picture. And it's this. When we think about dynamite, we think of it as something that blows things apart. It's destructive. It leaves only rubble and ruin. Whereas the dynamic, supernatural power of the gospel does the exact opposite. Let me illustrate it like this. If you can imagine, you walk into a room and you see on the screen the aftermath of an explosion. You see the rubble and the ruins all around. It's a scene of utter carnage. It seems so hopeless and all is lost. But then, as you're watching, someone somewhere presses the rewind button. And right before your eyes, the devastation you see is completely reversed. It seems like there's an awesome power not to blow apart, but to forcefully and powerfully bring together. Can you imagine if that happened? That is a picture of the dynamic, explosive power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dunamis, the unstoppable power of God. That He brings back together things that otherwise could never be brought back together again. How can the living God and spiritually dead sinners ever be brought back together again after the destruction and devastation of sin and the fragmentation and the brokenness? How can that ever be brought back? How can a perfectly holy God who must justly judge sin and ruined, rebellious, rotten to the core sinners ever be brought back together again? How can it be? God sees the rubble and the ruin of broken lives. He sees the aftermath of the sin of Adam in generation after generation, and He has done something about it. He has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Corinthians that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. It's power. But it's not just any old power. It's the power of the all-powerful, almighty God to rescue and restore ruined sinners just like us. And what of the power of God? Can you believe it? He just spoke the word, and every planet and galaxy and stars, billions upon billions, came into being. Astounding. He simply spoke. It is the power of God. Well, why couldn't He have just spoken and said, "You're forgiven, sinners"? Because God is holy and God is just, and He must punish sin if He is to be consistent with His own character of holiness and righteousness. He cannot overlook sin and just speak forgiveness away. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. That's what the Bible says. Bible also says this, that God made him, Jesus, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The dunamis, the dynamite of God, not to explode and separate, but to powerfully draw us together. Nothing can bring us to God. Nothing can reconcile us to God other than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why this evening we should never be ashamed of the gospel. Why would we? Do you believe that it is the power of God for salvation? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God? And if people don't hear about him and don't hear the good news of Jesus, they are lost? The great news is that the invitation goes out tonight to you. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope for you in him. Because the gospel is the power of God for salvation for anyone and everyone who believes. And tonight, I ask you, do you believe? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive and cleanse you from all sin? Do you believe in the power of the gospel to draw you to God? God is calling to you tonight. He is drawing you. He is pulling you to himself with strong, powerful, dynamic cords of love that cannot be broken. The night I got saved, I'll say it like this, I couldn't help it. Because God brought me to a place like he brought Lisa, like he has done to so many in this room. Brought me to a place where I couldn't help myself. And I couldn't help but say, Jesus, come. I repent. Save me. He doesn't need a second invitation. He comes. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.